How do you view yourself this morning? Do you view yourself as important, or do you think you're just insignificant? Do you feel you have value, or do you feel worthless? Last year we extolled the NHS for their bravery in fighting COVID on the front line, and we had the clap for heroes. But many other people felt as if, well, hold on, what about us? Doesn't our contribution count? Shop workers, delivery people, so teachers, so many other people thought, hey, we're on the front line too. You then had people who, because of either their age or underlying conditions, they suddenly had to isolate, they had to stop what they were doing, and they struggled with that sense of, well, I no longer have my sense of purpose. We had furloughed workers, again at home, no longer able to achieve the things that they were. I have spoken to so many people in these last few months who are really struggling with their self-esteem, struggling with the fact that they don't feel that they have any contribution to society. They feel worthless. They feel they have no value. And that can be true of many people today. It's hard to feel valued and important when an abusive partner is belittling you and robs you of all confidence. It's hard to feel important and valued when you have job rejection after job rejection. It's difficult to feel important when old age robs you of your dignity. Well, I want you to know this morning, and most importantly, God wants you to know, you are valued, you are treasured, because you are made in God's image. I love the way the Message translation puts it in Genesis 1:26. God spoke, "Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflect in our nature." So out of all of creation, it is only humans that carry the nature of God, that are made in God's image. I like how Max Lucado puts it. He says that, no, we are not gods, but we all carry the communicable attributes of God. Grace, love, wisdom, kindness, the longing for an eternity. We sadly go on to read in Genesis how Adam and Eve listened to the lies of Satan, ate the forbidden fruit, and how sin came into the world. One of the consequences of that was God's image in us became tainted. It lost maybe our purity. That affected our thoughts, our feelings, our actions, our reactions, how we view the world. But you know, that image was tainted, but it was not destroyed. And God keeps his promises. Even today, God makes people in his image. And God loves us. You know, I have three children, I'm really blessed. And even before they were born, before I knew what they looked like, whether they were good, what their natures were, I loved them. I loved them because they were part of me. They were mine. And that's the same with God. He loves us not because of who we are, but whose we are. He loves us because we are his. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. You see, God loves us so much. Before we were conceived by our parents, we were conceived by God. Before we were loved by them, we were loved by God. And he loves us so much that he doesn't want us to stay in that tainted state. So he sent his Son to pay the ultimate price for us. Jesus' death allows us to come back to the Father, to reach our full potential, to live the life we were created for. And that job of transformation begins when we recognise our need for God and we accept Christ into our lives. We all carry that spark of the divine, but when God comes in, it fans the flames and a fire alights within us. Then we can truly begin to reflect Christ as the distorted image is turned into one of clarity. You have taken off your old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in the knowledge in the image of its creator. That's how God explained it through the Apostle Paul in the book of Colossians chapter 3 and verses 9 to 10. Last week, Limitless, which is Elim's youth organisation, they posted daily videos and they were only 5 or so minutes long. But each one focused on a different spiritual discipline or a different spiritual practice. And they were things that through which we get to deepen our relationship with God. We begin to understand him more. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Fix these words of mine. Scripture is central to the life of a disciple. It's the primary way that God communicates to us and how God reveals himself to us. It's the most trustworthy source of knowledge about our God. It's the most trustworthy way to hear his voice. And it shapes our worldview, it shapes our thoughts, it defines our values, it directs our behaviour. So as followers of Jesus, we seek to spend regular time in God's presence, studying his word, listening to his voice. And let us not neglect our meeting together, as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Being part of a worshipping community is far more than just attending Sunday services. It's about being part of a family. It's about sharing lives together, highs, lows, joys, trials. Because as we do that, then God uses each one of us to transform and enhance the faith of the others. By excluding yourself, by withdrawing from the worshipping community, you are robbing God of the opportunity to use you in the transformation of not only your life, but others around you. Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Silence and solitude is a practice that has been virtually obliterated, I think, in today's world. We are constantly surrounded by technology. There are constant demands on our time. We are busy. But Jesus was busy. He was teaching the 12 disciples. He was healing. He was ministering to people. He was preaching to crowds. There was noise. There was bustle. But Jesus recognised the importance of getting away to spend time with God and to have that restorative time. We need to make time. We need to carve out time in our schedules where we can go to God and just rest in his presence. God, listen to my prayer. Listen to the pain in my cries. Don't turn your back on me just when I need you so desperately. Pay attention. This is my cry for help. And hurry, this can't wait. My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow is a statement that we can all say at times. But those words were actually uttered by Jesus in Matthew. He understood what it was to be overwhelmed. And there are times when that happens to us. Our sadness threatens to consume us. But we need to learn to lament, to express that grief, to take the reality of our emotions to the Lord. Because then we can process them in a healthy, restorative way. Sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out. A treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moths destroy. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus lived a very simple life. He didn't accumulate possessions, but he invested in relationships. He was rich in purpose. In a world where marketing companies would have us believe that more is better, do we actually need to re-evaluate what we are accumulating? Do we need to simplify things? Jesus was generous. We are called to be generous in spirit. Maybe we need to evaluate and practice accumulating less, but giving to others more. When you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show others they are fasting. But truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. When you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Jesus says, when you fast, not if you fast. But I think it's a spiritual practice that maybe some of us haven't built into our walk yet. Is that something that you need to look into? Do you need to explore why we fast? Is that a challenge that you need to take on for yourself? The final spiritual practice I want to mention is the observance of the Sabbath. It's summed up quite nicely by Robert Bell. Sabbath is taking a day a week to remind myself that I did not make the world and that it will continue to exist without my efforts. Sabbath is a day when my work is done, even if it isn't. Sabbath is a day when my job is to enjoy. Sabbath is a day when I am fully available to myself and those I love the most. Sabbath is a day when I remember that when God made the world, he saw that it was good. Sabbath is a day when I produce nothing. Sabbath is a day when I remind myself that I'm not a machine. Sabbath is a day when, at the end, I say, I didn't do anything today. And I don't add, boy, I feel guilty. Sabbath is a day when I turn off my phone and I don't check my email and you can't get hold of me. Is Sabbath a day that maybe you need to start observing? This verse from 2 Corinthians tells us that we are being transformed into his image. As we build these spiritual practices into our lives, we become more Christ-like. We begin to think like Christ, act like Christ, react like Christ. The tarnish is being removed, and the true image of Christ within us can be seen. The light of God's glory can radiate out from us. But are we allowing that light to shine, or are we keeping it to ourselves? Matthew chapter 15 and verse 14. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. There are so many practical ways in which we can reflect Christ. But I just want to quickly mention just three quick points. First of all, we need to cultivate a genuine interest in people. We need to seek the Lord and ask that the Lord helps us to see people as he sees them, through the eyes of grace, to love people as he loves them. Because that will then give us the incentive to actually want to reflect and to impact upon them. Secondly, we need to make time. We need to be available. I know at the moment it is difficult, but we have letters, we have texts, we have telephones, we have emails, even just a chat over a garden fence. We need to be available for people to see us. But lastly, and most importantly, we need to be giving glory to God. God needs to be at the centre of everything we do. And we need to give the glory to him for the work that he's done in our lives. When was the last time you shared with somebody what God has done in your life? As we let God's glory radiate from us, his kingdom is built, his kingdom is seen on earth. Now, can you imagine what society would be like if everybody actually grasped that concept that we are all made in God's image? The civility that there would be, the kindness. There would be no friction, there would be no jealousy, because you would look at your enemies and think, they're made in God's image. Abuse, neglect, wouldn't happen, because you'd realise that person's made in God's image. Every human being is God's idea. He made us to know him and be known by him. Now you may think, it's not achievable, can't be done. I just want to read you a quick statement. This is a sign. NASA works. NASA works. When we put our hearts together, our hands together, our brains together, we can succeed. This is what NASA does. This is what we can do as a country. On all of the problems we have, we need to work together to do these kinds of things and make success happen. You know, that was something that one of the guys at NASA announced just moments after that Perseverance rover landed on Mars. If that's the confidence that NASA has, or NASA employees and individuals have in their own abilities, what confidence can we have? Yes, we have each other. We can work together, join our heart, our hands, our brains. But boy, add into that who we're working for. Our God, add in the Holy Spirit and the power that is ours. His kingdom can come. His kingdom is here. We just need to embrace it and to live it.